Good morning, church. It's so good to say this in my home church. It's been a while. We spent about 3 weeks in southeastern Alaska and just loved that. Just really loved it. Really beautiful terrain, really beautiful areas. The people that we met, very nice. And the Lord bless, we had a little camp meeting there, and that was a very good time. But it's always nice to come back to your own home, in your own bed, in your own meals. And so it's very nice to be back. And of course, I think most of you have already experienced the power of Facebook. One of our biggest surprises was to find out that my wife is actually expecting our first child. So we're very excited for that. We truly, truly know and feel that this is a miracle from the Lord. So we're just excited about that. Keep us in your prayers on that. Keep us in your prayers. We really need it. It's a whole change of life, as most of you already know that have children. It's a whole different world, so we'll definitely need your prayers. This morning, I want to spend some time on the heart of unity. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, what a joy to worship you. What a joy to follow you. As we study this morning and we ponder your word, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may be with us. Open our hearts, open our minds. And Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, so that Jesus may shine forth. For we ask it all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Unity. What exactly is unity? The reason why I title our talk this morning, The Heart of Unity, it's because your heart is of vital importance to your life. If your heart doesn't go, you don't go. If it stops, you stop. So the heart is the most important matter, the most important foundation to have unity. But the question is, what exactly is unity? Have you asked yourself that? What exactly is unity? Well, some people say, well, let's define unity, first of all, by what is not. Unity is not uniformity. Now, uniformity comes from the word uniform. And of course, some of you know that probably went to school with a uniform. Just because everybody looks the same, it does not necessarily mean that they act the same, correct? You take that into the prison system. Everybody has the same clothes. Everybody looks the same, but they all act differently. You take that to schools. Everybody has the same color shirt, the same color pants. Everybody has the same thing on, but they all act very differently. So number one, unity is not uniformity. Some of you probably remember hearing about communism. And one of the beliefs of communism is that if everybody has the same things, the same amount, the same particular portions, then everybody's going to be having the same thing. Everybody should be happy, right? In reality, it does not create it either. So unity is not looking all the same, is not having all the same things. So those are things that unity is not. For some reason, though, however, many of us think that that's what unity should be. We should look the same, we should act the same, we should have the same thing. Unity is not that. Unity, in the Christian word now, in the Christian sense, in the biblical word, is this. And let me put it to you this way. This is John 17:3, which was read. I beat you this morning. Thank you so much for doing that. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the heart of unity, the heart of the matter of unity, is a deep-rooted relationship with Jesus Christ that connects you to God the Father. That's unity. Now, you know, that's not what we have thought of unity in the past, but let's look at it from this point, and let's study this point, and maybe let's consider this point. What that means is then that unity, number one, depends on Christ being my anchor point to connect. Once I connect with Christ, then I connect to the Father. At that point, then I can start looking around and connecting to others who have the same connection. You see that? And that's where unity comes in. You see, Christ had prayed. Christ had been with the Father. Christ had been one with the Father. As a matter of fact, he prays here in John chapter 17. I don't have the whole time to go through it all. But John chapter 17, the first part, he talks about his reconnection with the Father. Then he prays about his connection with his disciples. And then I think, and I know that the Bible is quite clear here in the fact that Jesus prays, perhaps not by name, but he prays for you and for me, that we will experience that unity. Now, unity is an interesting thing because there have been many people who have tried to create nucleuses of united efforts. For example, our own Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under one God. One nation, you have 50 different states in this nation. Now, you talk to the people in Texas, and the people in Texas will tell you that they're their own nation. Now, as I found out here the last month, the people in Alaska, they're pretty independent too. And it's all right to be independent. It's all right to keep your identity, but you still are part, you understand, of a nation. You're still one nation. So when you create these nucleuses, it's not a matter of looking the same, acting the same, talking the same, having the same haircut, having the same clothes, is a matter of connecting and knowing who you're connected to. That's what gives you your identity. So you see, in a lot of these nucleuses, and we see this in cults, for example, in cults, you lose your identity. Your identity becomes the cult. But you see, here, in connecting with Christ, you don't lose your identity. You are uplifted because of your identity. As a matter of fact, God uses your identity to fulfill his mission. He gives you a reason for being. He gives you a reason for existing. He works through your personality. He works through your quirks, through your head, even though you might think different than everybody else. He still works through you. You are able to keep your individuality. You are able to keep your points of view. You are able to work through those, but you filter all of those through Christ, who is your anchor, who is your heart for unity. And so it is very important then to understand that unity is a deep-rooted connection, starts with a deep-rooted connection with Jesus Christ. We must have that if we're going to be united. Another thing that is not unity, or how to identify what unity is not, unity is not the absence. You ready for this? Unity is not the absence of misunderstandings, is not the absence of arguments, is not the absence of different point of views. Let me prove this to you. This side of the church, this aisle here, what color is my shirt? Tan? No, what color? Light yellow? This aisle, what color is my shirt? What was that? Cream? Oh, somebody says they're colorblind. Okay, that's good. How about this aisle? What color is my shirt? Yellow? It's light yellow? You think it's cream? I think it kind of looks like a mango. Mango color. You know, somebody else told me that it kind of looks like banana cream. Right? Somebody back there said they're colorblind, so to them it's just dirty white. French vanilla. Okay? So you see, are we all wrong? No. Are we all right? Well, the colorblind guy would say, no, you're all wrong, I'm right. Okay? And there's people that have colorblind, so understand that. But you see, we have different points of views, but just because we have different points of views, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden now we don't have unity. You understand that? You see, unity gives you the permission to express your point of view and be respected and accepted because of what you're saying. Because you have the freedom in unity to do that. So in unity, in Christian unity, you do not lose your identity. Your identity is used so that Christ may shine forth. So it doesn't matter if it's white, it doesn't matter if it's yellow, it doesn't matter if it's banana cream, it doesn't matter if it's French vanilla, it doesn't matter what color it is, as long as it's an avenue to portray Christ, that's what matters. Nothing else matters. So you see, Christ, I believe, is praying that we might have unity. I'll tell you today that unity is one of the most important things that we need, especially in the church. Because unity is what keeps us aligned to what's important. Unity is what's important to be able to fulfill the mission. Now let me give you some numbers here because I think that it's important that we look at some of these numbers. The Adventist Church worldwide meets every Saturday for worship. There's over 16 million members that come together for worship. There's over 21 million that attend the church. Places like South America, places like Africa, Asia, North America, all over the world, people are coming together. Are we all the same all the way around the globe? No. No. But Christ is the same. He is the rock that brings us together. If you go to an African American church, you will know that you're in an African American church because the people are going to talk back to you. They're going to encourage you to preach, and if you're not preaching well, they're going to tell you to preach well. You go to a Spanish church, and it'll be a little bit more quiet. And if you go to an Anglo church, you might wonder if you're preaching to yourself sometimes. We're all different. We're all different flavors. We're all different perspectives. We have different identities. You see, in the African American church, they worship in that sense because they feel that that's the way that it should be worshiped. In the Spanish church, they do that because they feel that's the way it should be done. In the Anglo church, they do that because they believe it's reverent to be that way. And so you see, we look at it from different perspectives. It does not mean that we're separated or that we're splintered. It means that we have an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. So let's focus on Christ. This is what he says. This is John 17:20. My prayer is not for them alone. This is talking about his disciples. John 17:20, if you have your Bibles, well, follow me along. We'll go all the way through verse 26 here. My prayer is not for them alone, talking about his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, there's that connection. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to a complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So you see, unity, it's not a sense of, it's not a euphoric word that we should enjoy and say, man, now we're happy because we have unity. Unity is not sitting around the fire and laughing and holding hands and smiling and singing kumbaya. That's not unity. Unity is the connection with Christ that connects us to the Father, who then uses that connection to preach to the world that there's a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. You see, that's what unity is about. There's a world that needs him. Verse 24 continues to say, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. So here's the big question, perhaps this morning, for each one of us. Have you seen the glory of God? Have you seen the glory of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced his glory in your life? Oh yes, I know that Christ, it's speaking here in terms perhaps of the glory that he will have when he comes in the clouds, that magnificent glory with thousands upon 10,000s of angels coming with him. It'll be so bright, it'll be so glorious, it'll be trumpets, it'll be sounds. Oh, I know that glory is going to be excellent to see, it'll be excellent to experience, but have you experienced the glory of Christ in your life? Have you experienced Christ in your life? You know what that feels like? Do you know what that tastes like? Do you know what that does to you? You see, Christ is praying that you may see his glory. How do we see God's glory? Well, it's really quite simple. You may have seen it many, many times. The person who was changed, the person who did a 180-degree turn in their life when they met Jesus Christ. Perhaps you were that individual that met Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ changed your life forever. Perhaps you were down in the gutter and Christ lifted you up out of the gutter. Perhaps you were down and out and Christ lifted you up and gave you some of his glory. So now you are high, exalted, lifted up, not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is. Have you experienced his glory? Oh, I know you have. I know you have. You wouldn't be here if you have not experienced his glory. Have you seen his glory? Have you lived
his glory. You see, Jesus says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Are you? And here's the, you know, perhaps the follow-up question to that is, are you where Christ wants you to be? Are you in the area of ministry where Christ wants you to be? And I'll tell you why this is important. As a church, we're getting ready to go into a new ministry year here. Some of you are smiling already. We're getting ready to go into a new ministry year. We're getting ready to have the nominating committee, that wonderful word that we look forward to each year about this time. You see, have you experienced the glory of Christ? Have you seen where Christ is? Have you been where he is? Are you at the place in your life where you are ready to go where Christ wants you to go? You see, if you connect with Christ, then Christ can bring us all together. And instead of just positions, we can look at this whole thing from a whole different paradigm and say, ministry happens when I'm connected to Christ. Ministry happens in our church when each one of us connects individually to Jesus Christ, and then we work from there. You've probably seen this or heard this illustration. Imagine a bicycle wheel. You have the center of the wheel, and then from the center of the wheel, you have spokes coming out. The further out the spokes get from the center, the further apart they get. When they come in, the closer they get to the center, the closer they get to each other. May I suggest to you this morning that when we connect with Christ, and Christ connects us to the Father, individually now, I'm not talking about anybody else. Individually, when I connect with Christ, Christ connects me to the Father. We have unity in those three. Of course, the Holy Spirit's also there working. Then he connects me to others that have the same connection. It's almost like a reaction, an automatic reaction, connections taking place. Christ puts me together with that, and then he brings me closer and closer to him. But in bringing me closer and closer to him, he brings me closer and closer to others. Now, that may be a problem for some of us because we want our personal space, which is about 2 feet all the way around. So then if Christ is pushing me closer and closer to him, and in doing so, he is bringing me closer and closer to others, I'm going, whoa, Christ, you're making a mistake here. I don't want to be next to this person. I like you. I love you. You've transformed my life, but I don't know about this one over here. Jesus, I want my personal space. Christ works on me and says, instead of putting your arms stretched out that way, open them a little bit more and allow people to come in closer. You see, Christ is going to bring us in so close to each other that we are going to become one body through Jesus Christ. And so when we are looking at unity, we are not looking at the perhaps the worldview of looking the same, acting the same, being the same, saying the same things, but we're looking at the foundation, at the heart of Jesus Christ. He is the one that flows through everyone. He is the one that rules in everyone. He is the one that's the reason for the message. And the message goes forth. Listen to what he says, verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you. That's the reason why we need unity, folks. Right there. Right there is the reason why we need unity. Though the world does not know you, I know you. Jesus knows the Father. Listen to what he says. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them. So each one of us, if we know Christ, we know the Father, so we have that unity again. And we'll continue, he says, to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. Oh, we're talking way ahead here. Because you see, if I get to the point where I want my personal space, and yes, even though I want to be close to Christ, I don't want to be close to others, Christ breaks that down, and then he says, not only that, he says, you ought to start loving with the love that I have instead of your love. Now, the word love is very misunderstood. The word love is very misused. As a matter of fact, when most of us think of love, we think of infatuation, we think of, you know, we think of many different things, but it's not really love. It's just perhaps a selfish desire as to something that I can get out of a situation, out of a person, out of an individual, out of a circumstance. But you see, God says here, Jesus says here, I have made you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. You see, when I connect with the heart of the unity, which is Jesus Christ, when I have a deep rooted relationship with Jesus Christ, I connect with him, he connects me to the Father, his character then starts flowing through my life. Not only his character, but also his love. And if I have Christ's love in me, then it's easy for me to love somebody that I may not naturally be lovable to. It's easy for me to love somebody that needs Jesus Christ in their life. He continues to say, he finishes up by saying, and that I myself may be in them. So you see, Jesus wants to live through you. That's perhaps the easiest way of saying you're a Christian. Unity is not the absence of arguments. It's not the absence of different point of views. It is not looking the same. It is not necessarily all having the same things. May I submit to you this morning that Christian unity starts with a deep-rooted individual connection to Jesus Christ. Don't worry about anybody else. Not at this point. Worry about connecting to Christ. Worry about making that connection. And as you make that connection, God himself is going to make sure that you connect with others. You see, many times we try to do it the other way around. We try to connect people and we ourselves are not even connected and we're just making short circuits. So we need to connect with Christ individually. That's when unity is going to take place. Once we have unity, folks, Jesus can shine forth. Jesus can be seen. Jesus can be experienced. His glory can live through us. Can you imagine a church like that? Can you imagine a home where that happens? Can you imagine a community where that happens? Can you see that happening in your life? Can you see that taking place right here, right now? I think we can do that if we individually connect to Christ. My prayer, just as Christ's prayer is here, and you know, it's interesting because, let me tell you this as kind of as a side note here. It's interesting because as pastors, and we have some retired pastors here, They'll vouch for what I'm about to say. As pastors, people think that our prayers sometimes are better than anybody else's because we're pastors. We should be closer to God, right? As a matter of fact, in one of my Spanish churches, I had a lady say, "Pastor, please, come on, you're closer to God than anybody else." Well, I happen to think that perhaps that the ones that are closer to God are the little ones. But you see, with that being said, sometimes we ask religious leaders to pray because we expect them to have a closer connection, a closer relationship with Christ. You see, here we have the Almighty Creator God, Jesus Christ, praying that his people get united. Praying that his people become united. He is the wonderful prayer. You know, he is the prayer himself. I believe that when we connect with Christ, things can happen. And so I'm going to pray that Jesus' prayer is heard. I'm going to pray that Jesus' prayer is answered. I'm going to pray that Jesus' prayer is answered in my life and in my church. I'm going to pray that Jesus' prayer is answered in my family's life. I'm going to pray that this prayer takes effect, takes root in our midst. Now I'm going to start doing that right now. Will you pray with me? Father, here we are. We are a people that need you. We are a people, Lord, that need to come into a closer relationship with you so that the world knows that you are alive, that the world knows that you're in control. Lord, I pray today that you'll start working in my heart, Lord, that you'll clean anything and everything that needs cleaned out, Lord, so that I can make a direct connection with you. Lord, I pray that for every single person here too. I pray, Lord, that we will connect to the Father. And as we connect to the Father, Lord, that we will reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll remove the evil one. Lord, I pray that you'll remove any misunderstanding, anything, Lord, that needs to be taken away so that Jesus shine forth. Lord, please do it. Bless us, Lord. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Bless us to that end, Lord, for I ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll sing our closing hymn, which is 348. Unless you want to send something else, Jim. 348, the church has one foundation.
We'll sing the first and second stanzas.
The church has one foundation, 'tis Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation, by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued.
Our Father in heaven, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory.
And Lord, as we leave this place, we ask for your countenance to show upon us. Lord, we ask for your guidance to lead the way, Lord. We ask, Jesus, that your life may be the direction, Lord, and the guiding light of our life. We pray, Jesus, that you'll come soon so that we can go with you. Keep us faithful until that day, Lord, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. So glad to be back.